Dolphins and Jags, what a drag!
Welcome, football fans, to the Surf and Artificial Turf, the number one Jags and Dolphins podcast in Vietnam. I'm Baxter Hill, and this is my co-host, Casey Thompson. Casey, how was your half a month, buddy?
I enjoyed that intro much more, gotta be honest with you.
Okay.
That was funny.
Thanks.
There's
plenty to go through still. I got
potentially
that.
Potentially true.
We got a couple of countries to go.
Yeah. My past couple of weeks have been good.
That's great.
Have felt much better. Did the Disney trip. I had a great time. Revealed to everyone that we're expecting our third child. Can't keep us down.
Congratulations. You're very fertile. One of you, at least.
I can't keep that thing down. You know what I'm saying?
Yikes.
But beside that, man, I don't think... Oh, yeah, the other big news is that we put an offer and got that offer accepted on a house.
Congratulations.
A lot of stuff happening here. Let me tell you. I don't even, the huge items, and I can't even think of to mention them on the pod.
Sure.
So we are expanding our family, and therefore we are expanding the size of our home.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems necessary, even at our current family size. So very exciting. Very exciting all around.
I'm excited for you.
A busy 2024 for the Thompson family. How about you, buddy?
And
guess what? Guess what? We're going to have multiple Disney trips before through and throughout the season. Don't worry. Don't worry. I think you were thinking, wait a minute. Would this mean that he stops going to Disney? No.
No.
That does not mean that. Double
impossible.
Down. More Disney trips.
Purple Puppy's on a bye week this week. So... no practice this coming up next week this next week for spring break. Listen, just a lot of work, you know. Surprisingly, people need to shop at grocery stores around holidays. So there's been a lot of work going on. And just taking care of two kids, you know, that's just life in a nutshell for me. It's work at work and taking care of children. No Disney trips here for the Hill household. Maybe one day. What are you drinking or ingesting tonight, buddy?
How'd you know?
We got. I'm watching you.
Jeremiah's Ice combo of cookies and cream vanilla soft serve with Oreo cookie crumbles in the middle. 10 out of 10. Highly recommend.
Voodoo Ranger, Juice Force.
I had a lot of beer when I was at Disney. I consume a lot more when I'm with my brother. And I had a bunch, especially at Epcot, but also at the house. That was good. I enjoy it.
Before we get into the meat and potatoes of this podcast, we got an email. And the email... I didn't even pull up the email, but I could probably get around about what it is. But you know what? Let's go ahead and read it. And by the way, if you want to email us literally anything, you can email us at surfandartificialturf@gmail.com. The question today is, if you were to draft Easter candies into an elite team of candy, which three would be your top picks and why? And here's what I say we do. Let's do snake draft style. Let's draft our Easter candies right here, right now.
Oh, you bitch. You little bitch.
Would you like one?
Yes.
Or would you like two, three?
I want one.
All right, hit me with it.
Because who the fuck knows, honestly? Based on Laura's like candy things, like I don't know. The Hill household's off the fucking,
rails. You and I both independently could not really come up with a lot of Easter candies, which was very upsetting to the emailer, Jessica Thompson. She was very upset that we couldn't come up with a lot of Easter candies.
Anyway, I don't know. Let's start off. For me, it's an obvious one, so I need to have it type mm-hmm. of thing. Reese's peanut butter egg.
Number one.
Incredible.
100%.
Would that have been your one too?
Yeah, yes, but I disagree with that the Reese's peanut butter egg is the best peanut butter to chocolate ratio. Mm. I think a regular cup or even a thin might be my favorite chocolate to peanut butter ratio. I think it's just too much peanut butter in a Reese's egg.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I get 2-3 here. I'm going Starburst jelly beans because I do like myself some jelly beans. And next, listen, I've never heard of this candy before, but it's making my top. It's making my number two spot because my number three is going to be a personal thing. That's not a Easter candy, but it's been in my Easter basket for many years. Let me try and find this bad boy that your wife sent us. And it's kind of high up here on here. Where is it? The Ferrero Collection Crispy Eggs. Mm. I love a crunch or a crackle. Any chocolate that's got like the rice, the crunchies in it, I'm a big fan of. I didn't know that these Ferrero existed.
Specifically?
Sure, but this is your wife sent us the tastingtable.com, which is the top 30 Easter candies. And I saw this one. It's an egg, so it's a little Eastery. So I'm going number three for me, my second choice, the Ferrero Collection Crispy Eggs.
Okay.
Give me your 2-3.
Two, category, caramel egg. Ugh. 10 out of 10. Big ass egg filled with caramel. Ugh. Ugh, incredible. The last one, because there's really a steep drop off for me. I'm going to do this. I was going to do another Reese's item, but it just seems like it's a little overboard. Because I could do all the Reese's items, which they release like 5 for each holiday at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Just a shout out to Reese's Pieces in the carrot that it comes in, like it's all orange
on
Reese's
here. Pieces. Yeah.
Is on the? I haven't looked at the list.
It's on the list.
I guess I need to. I don't know.
I love great Reese's Pieces.
Oh man, boy. I love Reese's, but
they're probably my favorite.
In honor of the person that sent this email in, I will select Peeps.
Trash. As
my third.
Just throw them in the fucking garbage. They're awful. My final choice, and I had to go the Ferrero Collection Crispy Egg as my second choice because I had to get some chocolate, even though I'm not a huge chocolate person, into it. I didn't want 3 non-chocolate candies. This last one is a me staple. It's something that I've had in my Easter basket for a way, way far back. Not necessarily an Easter candy, but it's my Easter candy. I get a bag every year around Easter. Caramel apple lollipops.
That's really weird. Why did that happen? How did that start?
My mom got them for me because I like caramel apples. And then they were just delicious and I love them. And I've just had a bag every year since the first time that my mom got them for me. I couldn't tell you the reason why. She might be able to.
Because you grew up in a religious family, was Easter like a big deal for you guys?
So my family, I'm going to have to tell my wife that my child can't listen to this episode. So my family started a tradition where the Easter Bunny brings you bathing suits. So we would get a new swimsuit every year in our Easter basket along with candy, which also signified the beginning of my family going to the beach, because that's one of the things that my family used to do all the time. We used to go to the beach when my mom would take us all summer long. That's where we would go. But yes, like Easter Sunday in and of itself was a pretty big thing along with all of the other big holidays. So yes, to answer your question, yes, it was a big thing. It wasn't like like the thing at home wasn't made such a big deal of, right? Because my parents were quite busy on Sundays being ministers. But the holidays in general were pretty big.
It's a little odd.
We've continued the swimsuit
right
trend. Ellie's getting a swimsuit. She's very excited for it. We've done it every year so far.
Really?
Yep.
Just layers upon layers, that Baxter Hill.
Just peel us back like an onion, you know what I mean? Basically, I'm Shrek. All right, let's get in. Thank you for the email, Jessica. Here we go. We're going to do a quick roundup of news or nos. This is some of the stuff that's gone on since the last time we podcasted. I'm going to hit Casey with it, and then he's going to let us know if it is news or nah. Let's start off with the two Jags and Dolphins specific things. The Dolphins have made an offer to OBJ. News or nah?
Nah. Maybe in 2021 it would be news. but we've seen him these past couple of years. This is, in my mind, he's just a vet at this point. Just a vet wide receiver. It's as big of an add to me as Hunter Renfro or, I don't know, with Michael Thomas or something like that. Like a guy that would be a big name to add 3 to 5 years ago, but at this point is at best your third best pass catcher, but more likely fourth or fifth, whatever.
I am not a fan of it. I do, again, I also believe it's not news. It wouldn't even be news if they did sign him for me personally. I think that it would be a mistake. I've talked to you about this. I think that bringing in a guy like OBJ is just going to be a progress stopper for any other wide receiver that you could possibly draft in this deep, deep wide receiver class and develop. Or, you know, a guy like Hunter Renfro, who is younger, who could, you know, still have an extended amount of a career. OBJ is a sign for a year guy, and then he's going to be off of your roster, you know, maybe 2 years at most. But for me, this would be a mistake. This would be a progress stopper just for the sake of adding a big name.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the stakes are that high, honestly, because in my mind, if the guys are going to outperform, you know, then they'll take the snaps from OBJ and they'll be the ones that'll take
it. Yeah, but they've got to get the snaps is the problem. That would be my issue with it, right? It's like after the preseason, your wide receiver 4 and 5 are not getting tons of practice reps with Tua. They're getting practice reps with backup quarterbacks and scout team. They're not getting into a position where they could overtake him. So I wouldn't be a big fan of it. Next up, news or nah, today, Jaguars linebacker Foye Aluakin is extended. His extension will be a 4-year, $45 million deal with a maximum value of $48 million. That includes $22.5 guaranteed at signing. News or not?
Nah, it's a linebacker.
Yeah.
Who cares? A dime a dozen. A dime a fucking dozen. I mean, there's just so many out there. It's not a premium position. He is a good linebacker. Good to lock him up. At this point, I did not expect him to go anywhere, so nothing is changing. Except I assume, freeing up cap space for maybe Josh Allen. I don't know what your other plans are, but...
Yeah, you would think that if they're freeing up cap space, that you wouldn't even really necessarily need to free up cap space if you were going to sign Josh Allen long-term, unless they were planning on front loading the Josh Allen deal so that next year they could have a smaller cap hit for when they have to sign a couple of other guys. That feels like that would be giving Trent Baalke the benefit of the doubt more than I would be willing to, that he has a plan going forward. I think they drafted Chad Muma in the third round, expecting him to be able to supplant Foye eventually down the road. It was a whiff. They shouldn't have drafted a second linebacker in that draft after paying a linebacker. We talked about it. It's not even hindsight. It was foresight when it happened. We were both not pleased with the pick. And not only was it a bad process, it ended up being this guy who can't get Foye out of the lineup. It's not news as far as like the NFL in general. I think it is necessarily for the Jags because he has been one of the better Jags defenders outside of Josh Allen. You're going to sign him, keep him long term, and hopefully he'll be there and can continue to play at the level that he has been playing at. Next up, two quick pieces of league news. First off, the swivel hip drop tackle has been made illegal. The rule contains multiple elements. First, the defensive player grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms. Second, the defensive player unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body. Third, the defensive player lands on and traps the runner's legs at or below the knee. Casey, swivel hip drop tackle being banned. News or not?
I don't know. I actually have no idea how often those tackles were happening.
I think they said 230 for the season.
Okay.
Which is like one a game. Maybe less.
Yeah, it's gotta be less. 16. Yeah, it's less.
What's 17 times 32?
Little less than
544 total games. So a little less. It's like half of one a game.
So, meh.
Here's my concern.
What's the penalty? Is it 15 yards?
15 yards. Yeah, 15. And a fine.
So, it's a tackle that adds on to a gain. It's probably not going to be a huge... You know, I think like the bigger ones that we've had in the past were like pass interference where refs could review it and things like that. Like, those were like huge because we're talking much longer distances. Potentially, especially ones that were reviewed. And so when that rule change happened, that was a lot more implication. This is maybe once a game, there's a 15-yard penalty. On the other side, they are adding the fact that they can replay assist roughing the passer calls, which in my mind is, that's huge. That is that's news to me, more than this hip swivel shit. Because I think that I can almost guarantee, I mean, there's just been so many instances of that being fucked up. Like
Josh Allen is the best at getting pass interference or roughing the passer calls when it's not be getting called.
Absolutely. Those have just been much more frustrating and egregious. So having the replay assistant come in, not needing a challenge, just common sense overturns on a lot of these things is going to be very nice to have in my mind. I think I understand what you're about to say with your issues on the swivel tackle. But I do think that we saw injuries this year from it. And so I don't really mind it considering it's just once a game type of thing or less, once every other game. That it just seems to be not as big of a deal.
See, and here is my issue with it, and it might not be what you necessarily were expecting to be my issue with it. My issue with it is that it is nebulous. The problem is, like you were talking about, that there was an injury that came from the swivel hip drop tackle to Mark Andrews, and they actually went back and forth three or four times determining whether or not this offseason, whether or not that Mark Andrews injury was due to a swivel hip drop tackle. I think making things with three elements for refs to have to adjudicate on the field when they're already struggling, like, my problem with the roughing the passer stuff is the full body weight when it's not full body weight. Like, this is very similar where there's three elements that the refs have to be watching for to make it a swivel hip drop tackle. Very easy to miss or to over enforce when it's not even a hip drop tackle in the moment. And I personally think all 15-yard penalties should be removed from the NFL. Every 15-yard penalty should be knocked down to a 10-yard penalty. Every 10-yard penalty should be knocked down to a 5-yard penalty. That's a completely different conversation. I just don't like these rules being added that have so much subjectivity to them. That's kind of my personal thoughts.
Yeah, it's hard to know what's going to happen. I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Final piece of news or non, new kickoff rule. The new kickoff rule. The ball is going to be kicked from the 35-yard line, same as current. All kicking team players, other than the kicker, will be lined up with 1 foot on the receiving team's 40-yard line. There's a lot of other stuff that I really don't want to go through here. The other team lines up. Let's see. The other team lines up like 10 yards away at their 40. And then you may have one or two people to receive the kick within the 20-yard line, which is the landing zone. The kicker has to land the ball between the 20 and the end zone. Nobody can move until the person who is receiving the kick touches the ball. The idea behind this is the NFL wants to bring the kickoff back into the game. It's largely been non-existent because teams just kick it out of the back of the end zone. This allows it to become a play again while minimizing some of the high impact injuries that were happening before with the old kickoff. Casey, news or non, new kickoff.
News. I think it's going to be interesting. So give me interesting.
You were not a summer league enjoyer of football. I attempted to be. I couldn't really get too much behind it, but I did watch a couple of XFL games where this rule is coming from. There weren't a lot of kickoffs returned for touchdown, but what it did do, and there was a graphic that was posted last year, every XFL team averaged more yards on kickoffs than every NFL team. And I think the lowest XFL team had 3.8 yards and the highest NFL team averaged 1.6 yards per kickoff for the season. So basically that's just a ton of zeros with an occasional return. So, yeah, I'm excited to bring the kickoff back in. We'll get to see maybe even some different alignments, some different players being kept for this rule specifically. Should be fun. All right. Now we get into the big meat and potatoes. We are here for the post-free agency mock draft. We're going to do it again a little bit differently than we did last time. We are going to be doing this as a what we would do mock. Still, we're only going to do one predictive mock this year, but this time around we are going to do not together, not collaborative. I will be taking the even picks. Casey will be taking the odd picks. Are you ready to get us started?
Let's get going. We got 23 minutes into the pod. We haven't started this yet.
Let's ride. You are on the clock with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I think at this point, this is pretty much cut and dry. Definitely going to happen. Send it in. Mims, you are... Caleb Williams is going to be the first overall pick. And, you know, boy, Bears really nailed that trade last year. And so that looks quite foolish for the Panthers, but now the Bears not only took their number one wide receiver, they also got a better quarterback prospect in Caleb Williams. Just a fucking huge blunder by the Panthers in retrospect.
All right, next up. I plan on giving a little bit of context. Obviously, this is going to be a what we would do mock, but there's been a lot of news swirling about what some of these teams are going to do already. And I'm going to talk about it here, right here with this pick. What I would do is I would take Drake May here, and that's what I'm going to do. But there is a ton of heat behind Jaden Daniels here as the number two pick by the Commanders. And I just want to give some context on why I would not be willing to take Drake May, or sorry, why I would not be willing to take Jaden Daniels here. Jaden Daniels finally weighed in at his pro day. He is 6'3" and 5'8", so basically 6'4", and 210 pounds. Kyler Murray, 5'10", and 207 pounds, ninth percentile. Lamar Jackson, didn't have it ready. Lamar Jackson is 6'2.5", 216 pounds, so almost 10 pounds heavier. Still 32nd percentile. Both of these quarterbacks, outside of Kyler's first two seasons, have not played a full season in the NFL due to injury and other such issues. On top of that, I also look at Kyler and Lamar, and I see runners who can avoid big hits. Do yourself a favor and just type into your Google machine, Jaden Daniels big hits. Click on the first video. It's a TikTok from CBS Sports. And you will watch this guy make some very puzzling decisions with his body and get absolutely destroyed. Here's the thing. Jaden Daniels needs to be a scrambler because that's his superpower. That's what he's going to be in the NFL. He's going to be a dual threat quarterback. His problem is he's rail thin and he doesn't know how to protect himself. I'm not big on taking outliers at quarterback, especially this high in the draft. And I'm definitely not willing to take a guy who's not going to be able to protect himself. So I am 100% on board for Drake May. I would not take Jaden Daniels here. So you are up, number three, with the
Patriots. Jaden Daniels, I absolutely love him. He's going to the Patriots here. I'm kidding.
I do think that eventually, I don't know if this would be the pick. It's going to be a little funky here because I had to look at it, and because you're also the odds for this team.
Yeah.
But we, at some point, we do have to talk about the Vikings, who seemingly have made a trade so that they can move up to get a quarterback. So I guess kind of just talk on that here.
Yeah, I would be. It's tough because the Patriots, I think. The problem with trading back and not picking a quarterback, which is the potential here, is that next year's quarterback class potentially isn't as good.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I could say almost definitely it's not as good. And so, you know, you don't want to be stuck in a situation where you have the Kenny Pickett quarterback draft, and then now you're waiting 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before you are adding your franchise quarterback when you're here at pick three. And I think that, you know, Daniels, McCarthy are guys that are around the league. People think can be NFL franchise quarterbacks. We personally like Penix, and even maybe Bo Nix more, but
I think I'm coming around a little bit on McCarthy over Nix.
Okay, well, Lottie fucking die, you know?
Yeah, yeah, but I'm still Penix 3.
I don't know Bo Nix is going in the first round in reality. So you saying that means not much in the world of the NFL where it seemingly he's going in the top 10. But anyway, my point is that, like, I don't know because I think, you know, not – the Patriots could still potentially do a half trade back up and get a quarterback, or maybe they like Penix and maybe Penix falls to them at 11 if they trade back with the Vikings. I do think that the Patriots have done shit in free agency. So that is because this is a free agency mock, I'm going to say they trade back.
Okay.
And add picks because they need players based on their free agency. They are not look at what the Bears did, right? Adding a guy like Keenan Allen is prepping for a quarterback coming on board. The Patriots just swung and missed on the guys. They tried, right? They tried for Ridley and stuff like that. But like they didn't go. And so now you're the Patriots and you are going to give whatever quarterback you have, and my God, if it's fucking Jaden Daniels, put him behind that line that was bad last year with terrible, terrible wide receivers. I think that is going to be a tough break for whatever quarterback goes there. So anyway, I like trading back, looking straight towards the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay. So here's the deal. This trade is almost identical, right, to the trade that the Dolphins did with the 49ers not too long ago. Sure. I think the big difference is the picks that the 49ers gave up were three first rounds in the next 3 years. I do think that the Vikings could give up two first round picks this year and then a second next. Well, they don't have a second next year, so they might be fucked. And they don't have a second this year.
Yeah, because I think the 49ers did give up three firsts and a third, if I'm
it was
wrong.
Yeah, it was three firsts, but it wasn't two firsts in one season.
Yeah. No, I'm saying I think they gave up, I want to say they gave up another pick, but I could be wrong. Like a day two pick. Mm-hmm. But and so maybe just three firsts is enough there. Or maybe the Patriots send back, I don't know.
Yeah, I do. Let's see.
Round two of next year.
All right, let's do that. That makes sense, I think. Yeah, that jumps up to 80%. I think that makes sense because you're as the Patriots, you're getting to first this year, which you could use to move back up. So let's do that. All right, the Vikings are here, and it's your pick again. So who are you taking?
What are we doing here? Is this I forgot what we would do, what they should do, what will happen?
I mean, it's what we would do, but you know,
Does it have to be grounded in realism?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Because if you were gonna take Penix, you would have not traded. You would not have traded up.
I would say that I like this is tough. I'm going to say Jaden Daniels.
Interesting. I would have got McCarthy.
I think the ceiling of Jaden Daniels is higher.
All right, we are to the Cardinals. This is, I think, exactly what the Cardinals want. They want a wide receiver. They need a wide receiver. The second best player in the draft has fallen to them here. There's not really much to think about here. Mervin Harrison Jr., to the Cardinals, let's ride. You are here at pick five with the Chargers.
Yeah, based on everything that's happened in the past week and the comments of Harbaugh, it seems more likely than not that they're actually more likely to go offensive line over wide receiver.
Or trade back.
Or trade back. I don't know. So you have McCarthy there. So you're thinking jump the Giants if you want McCarthy, because the Giants very likely would pick McCarthy if he's still on the board, in my mind. So I think that the Broncos could be that team.
These three teams right here, Patriots at 11, Broncos at 12, Raiders at 13.
I just don't know if out of those teams, honestly, I think the Raiders are more likely to trade up. Because
I do think that
mind,
they are Jaden Daniels or pass, honestly.
The Raiders?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just think that the Broncos are in a spot where they just invested so much in a quarterback and it failed miserably to then have to trade up and use multiple picks to do so. And potentially compromising future more again for another hope that this is the guy and he's quarterback four off the board. Seems very risky. And so I'm just going to go with alt here.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, listen, it makes sense that they would do that. They would do this because this is kind of like you said, what Harbaugh has basically said is, you know, how important the offensive line is. I hate it for Herbert. I told you earlier, I feel like this team is going to be a NASCAR driver driving a golf cart or like a smart car. This is awful. This offense is not going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of running with Justin Herbert as your quarterback. But if they're going to stick and pick, it seems based in reality that they would go Joe Alt with Malik Nabers still on the board. So me with the Giants here, this is tough for me, honestly. We've talked about it quite a bit. Do not believe in Daniel Jones as a quarterback. I would not bet on him ever. I personally am not the biggest fan of J.J. McCarthy. I think that he is the Wish version of Josh Allen. That being said, I think that if there's a coach who could take a guy who's got tools, maybe not as good as Josh Allen, but a guy who is looked at as a guy with a strong arm, who's athletic, who can run, and mold him into an NFL-style level quarterback, I think that would be Brian Daboll. I am going to take J.J. McCarthy here for the Giants, moving on from Daniel Jones and picking up a quarterback, getting a guy on a rookie deal, hoping that he can advance this team for me going forward. You have the Titans at 7.
All right, scroll down, scroll down, scroll down.
Let me tell you, they got to be getting phone calls.
Oh, yes, I agree with you. Someone wants to trade up for one of those wide receivers.
Yeah, Malik Nabers.
Specifically for Nabers.
Yeah.
I mean, who is jumping up here because they desperately need a wide receiver?
Man, I cannot imagine that the Titans would let the Jags trade up to pick Malik Nabers here. There's not going to happen.
Yeah.
What about the Bears?
To trade up two spots, but the worst case scenario is Odunze's there at 8. Because why? I mean, at 9. Because why are the Falcons picking a wide receiver?
Yeah, but I mean, Nabers. I don't know. I guess you're right that they're not that far apart.
Because in my mind, like you're basically. I mean, you have a chance if you're there, that the Titans don't trade back. Mm-hmm. So maybe the Bears say whatever. If you don't trade back, the Nabers could freaking fall to us.
Interesting. All right. Well, what do you think?
The amount, I think they're going to pick. I mean, just scrolling through here, I just don't know if anyone here is willing to.
The team would be the Jags, I think, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no. So go to offensive lineman because that's what the Titans desperately need. And then, so I would pick Troy Fontenot at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's who I want.
Sure.
It's a pipe dream, I think, at this point for him to fall to the Dolphins. But mm-hmm. I think I would really enjoy him in my offense. And so that is who I'm going to select for the Titans.
Okay. All right. So we are taking Troy Fatanu here to tackle out of Washington.
My pronunciation was much better and definitely correct.
to the Tennessee Titans. All right. Now, the Jags are your pick, but now we are to pick 8.
What? Okay, yeah, sure. This is because this is in fantasy land where the Jags are making a trade up.
Well, it's
for
what
a wide
you
receiver.
Would do.
That's what I said.
What
it's
do,
fantasy
yeah.
land. It's our fantasy. Yours specifically. You're sitting there rock hard making the call, trying to trade up.
You're making the call to yourself. I have nothing
I'm
to
calling,
do with it.
I'm calling to you. I'm calling to you. It's your pick, technically.
No. Oh, yeah. You're right. Is this something that you would do? Because this is the Jags are your
yep.
pick.
Yep. 100%.
This 1,000%. Is something that you would do.
100,000%.
Yeah. Okay.
You can get Malik Nabers. Is going to be far and away much better as a wide receiver one for your offense for years to come at a decent salary versus whatever cornerback falls to you at your current pick, you know, CB3, CB4, would have an impact on your team. So if we're talking impact, I think it's worth the trade up.
Now,
what's the price? It's probably a first next year.
You think? Going from 8 to 17?
That's a hell. That's a first next year, without a doubt.
NFL draft pick trading chart. Let's see here. So, the what pick are we at here? Pick
8. Eight for 17
is worth. So this is just kind of like a rough thing here. There's this chart that these teams look at to kind of make sure to see if it's fair. So pick 8 is 1,946 points. The Jags pick at pick 17 is 1,564 points. So you would have to make up basically 400 points, which I don't think is a first, right? I think like their second round pick this year is worth over 1,000 points. But I personally kind of, based on what you're talking about, I would not want to give up draft capital this year. I would want to keep 48 and 96. If that meant I had to give up next year's first, I probably would be willing to do it. I don't know if that would necessarily take that much.
Excuse me, this is my pick.
Right, but that's what I was about to say. That if that's what it would take, I think that that is something that I would be willing to give up future draft capital instead of draft capital this year. Just
and how if you're the Falcons, I guess, but the question is to you, are you, if you're the Falcons, are you taking this?
I think so. If you're going to get two firsts, I texted you. I've already started watching prospects for next year. I watched one wide receiver, and I was like, it's never going to be a bad wide receiver class. I think that the Falcons need defense, and I think it's highly likely that the second edge is still available. The second or third corner is still available when they pick at 17, and you're picking up another first round pick next year. I don't see why they wouldn't do this deal.
Yeah, I agree. Just making sure. Let's go home and pull the trigger and pick Neighbors for the Jags.
All right. And then we are going to pick Malik Neighbors for the Jags here at pick 8. You are up with the Chicago Bears at number 9.
What is Moore's contract like? Do you know?
Find out pretty quick.
It's okay. I can pull it up. So I think if I'm the Bears and I'm sitting here and Ndunze's there and Moore is a free agent in 2026, so he has this year and next year. And then you also have Keenan Allen, who also has maybe 2 years left of good play in him because of age.
Yeah.
I think that where you are in the draft, I like the idea of picking Odunze here and getting a guy. I mean, in my mind, having a third wide receiver is good, but it's even better when you don't really have a guy that is on his rookie contract. And so I like Romain Odunze here.
Me too. Apologies to Justin Fields and that the Chicago Bears have done everything they can to surround their first round quarterback with a high powered, incredible offense.
Yeah,
it was not necessarily Ryan Pohl's fault because he wasn't the person who drafted Justin Fields. But that being said, Romo Odunze comes in as your number one. You can move. You literally just said his name, Keenan Allen. To the opposite side, you put DJ Moore in the slot. This is a nasty, nasty wide receiver trio. Instantly one of the better ones in the NFL. Romo Odunze. Jets up next. If the Jets don't take a tackle here, this is the team. If I was in charge of it, this is all in on winning this year. You're doing whatever you can to win a Super Bowl this year. Olu Fashanu, tackle out of Penn State. He could play multiple different positions. I think you could bring him in. He could play left tackle for you. He could play guard this year if that's what you need. You have to keep Aaron Rodgers healthy. I know there's a lot of talk about Brock Bowers potentially being here. or even another wide receiver, I would not do that. You have to protect Aaron Rodgers at all costs. I'm going Olufoshano here. And you are up with the Patriots on their trade back.
Scroll down. I'm picking Michael Penix.
Okay. I agree. You just keep taking quarterbacks until you find one.
You got the extra picks coming your way.
Mm-hmm.
You can add the guys. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just don't know what I'm missing here.
It's the injury stuff. It's the two season-ending injuries. But here's the thing, and why it doesn't bother you and I. The two season-ending injuries were 2 years ago, and he's played two full seasons since his last season-ending injury. Yes, he's been in college for a long time. There's been 15 Marvel movies that have been released since Michael Penix enrolled in college. He was in high school. He was in the same recruiting class as Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, all of that stuff is not good. But at least for Penix, there's a reason for it, right? He got two season-ending injuries and, you know, got to use this COVID year to extend his time in college. And coming off of those two injuries, going to Washington, he's been incredible. I agree with you. I don't see what I'm missing. If he's medically cleared, he's my third quarterback. No problem. All right, up next is the Broncos, and I hate what just happened because I would have taken Penix. I'm not so sure about Bo Nix. Oh, man. I think I'm going to go the first corner off the board here. I'm going to pair him with Patrick Surtain. And it just kind of comes down to which one I like more. I like Quinyon Mitchell more, so I'm going to take Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo, here to the Denver Broncos, and you are up with the Raiders.
Okay. FYI, if I was in your position there, I would have taken Brock Bowers. Okay. For the Raiders, boy. Jesus. I it's funny because if I had a picture Bo Nix in an NFL jersey, I could definitely picture him probably most in a Raiders jersey.
They need everything.
I do think that it is more likely. I think honestly it's Fuaga. I think it's more likely they go off the line.
You know that there's an N in this? Like Tungvailoa? Fuanga?
Fuanga? I knew now. I can't even pronounce it, even if it was the straight spelling. I don't know. If they're gonna add syllables that are
they're gonna add a hidden invisible. N in this one.
Yeah. I'm not gonna know. So maybe it might follow the same language dialect shit that Tua's
right. Exactly. From. Yep.
Fuanga it is.
All right. Saints up here at 14. Boy. I'm going to go defensive interior. I like there's two guys kind of here at the top. It's Johnny Newton out of Illinois or Byron Murphy out of Texas. I like Byron Murphy more. He's more of a penetrating three technique, a guy who can get after the passer. I'm always going to choose that, I think, first. I like Byron Murphy. I watched quite a bit of Texas, so that's what I'm going to go here. Byron Murphy, defensive interior. Out of Texas to the Saints. You are up with the Colts. You want me to just click it?
I would peak the defensive backs. I think they really wanted Snead and didn't get him. They could potentially go with Arnold or Cooper. Where's Cooper going in mocks?
Around here.
Yeah.
Obviously, Trevor's got him really high. He's got him ranked 9. I would go Brock Bowers if I was the Colts, man. We've seen Anthony Richardson with a tight end.
Yeah, okay, sure. Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers it is. You are an Indianapolis Colt. We are here with the Seahawks. I would love to go an offensive lineman, but at J.C. Latham, to me, it's just... he's a tackle, and I'm a little concerned about him. So what I'm going to do is I am going to take the first edge off of the board here. They tried the Tyree Wilson experience last year. It did not work out well for them. I'm going to go Liatu Latu here out of UCLA. A guy that's very similar in what happened to him. That happened to, I always blank on names when we're doing this podcast, to the Dolphins pass rusher who got hurt. Yeah, Phillips, who was out of the league, out of college due to injuries, medically retired, came back. Latu is an all-around kind of edge. He can set the edge and play against the run. He can rush the passer. He's got a lot of different moves for him. The opposite of Tyree, who's just a completely raw piece of clay. They need to get after the passer for Seattle. I'm taking Latu here, and you are up with the Falcons.
Who traded back, and boy, things are fucking sitting pretty for them. Yeah. What a great trade back at this point.
Yeah.
Which
Alabama player do you want?
or Cooper. Mm-hmm. I think they're in a nice position. I mean, if you look, it's funny. Their needs are defensive linemen and cornerback, and that's literally these top three guys.
Yeah. Top four.
And so, I don't know, man.
Top five. Jeez.
Okay. I guess I think I would go Arnold here.
The corner. Terrion Arnold out of Alabama.
Correct. That would be, for those at home that don't know who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So if I know how to pronounce Arnold, you know, who knows how to pronounce that first name? I'm even going to try.
Terrion.
Yeah. You never know. Who knows what's going to come out.
I mean, that's like that's the exact pronunciation out there. That would have been easy. Terrion. Okay. Yeah, I like him. That's, you know, who I think the Jags would most likely pick if they're going to stick and pick there. Bengals looking their needs, tight end, tackle, defensive interior. Top guy on the board here is Johnny Newton out of Illinois. I'm going to go ahead and grab him here, which is going to be really sad for the Rams coming up next. But I just think the Bengals could use a little bit more pass rush, so I'm going to take Zerjon Newton.
I'm the Rams. J.C. Latham, maybe. Mims, maybe. It's tough for me to think about who the Rams are putting up there in offensive line currently. I also can't even really think of who their corners are, so maybe it's a guy like Cooper.
Let's see. Our lads, Bengals.
Who are the Rams?
Oh, Rams, right? Whoops.
I was like, wait a minute.
Our lads, Rams. All right, so the starting offensive line for the Rams.
Yeah, give me the tackles' names. This is the tackles.
I couldn't even tell you. I guess it's Joe Noteboom would probably be the starting left tackle. They have somebody named Alaric Jackson as their starting left tackle. And their starting right tackle is Rob Havenstein. They've got Kevin Dotson as their guard, Steve Avila, who was good last year, as their center, and Jonah Jackson as their left guard.
If I remember correctly, Noteboom had some issues last year. Go ahead and select J.C. Latham here.
Oh, okay. That's easy.
Well, you know, I'm coming up to an hour in this pod, so I'll be mindful here.
Listen, I'm here with the Steelers, and I don't know if there's another player who embodies the Steelers more than Cooper DeJean, cornerback out of Iowa. He's a kind of player who is more athletic than people give him credit for. He's going to be able to play all over the place on a defense. He's going to be able to play nickel. He's going to play safety. He can play outside corner. He can do whatever you want. I would never dare to compare him to Troy Polamalu, but I think that he would be able to be the kind of player that you can just like use in a athletic ability to just kind of do whatever he possibly can athletically to help you So I'm going to go Cooper DeJean here with the Steelers, and you are up with the Miami Dolphins, pick 21.
What a dream. He's right there. And Marius Mims, come on down. You're a Miami Dolphin.
Listen, man, I love this pick for the Dolphins. I was joking around with you during the combine every time some Amarius Mims news came up about how high up would you be willing to trade up to get Amarius Mims. He's still available there. He's a great player. Carries 320 pounds.
Because this is Dolphin, the Jag spot, I'll talk a little bit about this, but I've already mentioned this before. Tron Armstead was contemplating retirement this past offseason. There's nothing to believe that you're going to be more committed to the game of football after a year and you being a year older and suffering injuries. I think that Austin Jackson is also in a contract year. And so you have you're in a spot where you have uncertainty at the tackle position in 2025. And plus you have a guy that has an injury history at your left tackle position. So I understand the fact that you're like, he might not even be a starter on day one. You're spending your first round pick on him.
I'd play him at right tackle instantaneously.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. That's kind of what I was going to say. It's like what an offensive lineman can bring to you is flexibility. First of all, no offensive line is going to stay healthy the whole year. Second of all, Austin Jackson can play guard. So you kick him inside to where Robert Hunt was.
Amarius Mims cannot play guard.
that's true. I didn't say that
part. I know. I was just thinking that would be hilarious to see.
You have Mims at right tackle and Austin Jackson at right guard, and your offense your offensive line doesn't really take that huge hit that we currently have at the guard position. So it just gives us flexibility. If Armstead goes out, that might put Mims at left tackle and Jackson back at right tackle, and you don't take as much of a hit.
I also think that it brings the Dolphins an element that they don't have, which is the Dolphins are kind of a little bit of a finesse team, right? And Amarius Mims is like putting a grizzly bear on a team full of mongooses. Mongeese? I don't know. Mongooses. and just like putting a grizzly bear in front of them. This guy is giant. He is huge, but he also carries his weight like a power forward in basketball. He is athletic. He's going to be able to get out and pull on those zone read plays, but also when it gets to the time of the year where it's getting cold and you need to run the ball, you can absolutely run behind Amarius Mims and a giant human being like this. I think it would be an incredible pick for the Dolphins. Moving on, I am the Eagles. Nate Wiggins is sitting here staring me in the face, and I feel like there's never been a player that more embodies to me an Eagle in Nate Wiggins, but they just traded away Hassan Reddick today. I'm going to go with an edge here. I'm going to take Dallas Turner. This is also a very Eagles move, you know, possibly the number one edge still on the board falling to the Eagles here at pick 22. I'm going to pick Dallas Turner, and you are up with the Patriots, pick 23.
So you added your quarterback. You still have many positions to fill. One position that you are soon to be really lacking in talent when Matthew Judon leaves, is the edge position. Verse still sitting there, I think, is pretty nice to see at pick 23, I would say. I don't know. I haven't seen the mocks, but I think Verse being there at pick 23 is pretty nice, especially as your second pick that you're already in the first round. So I'm leaning towards him. Scroll down. Let me look at the tackles because they do have offensive line issues.
You got Jackson Powers Johnson. You got Graham Barton. And then you got Tyler Guyton.
When is my next pick?
As the Patriots?
Yeah.
Top of the
you
second
can't
round.
See.
Whatever.
If you like traded.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me
I think I'm gonna stick with, you don't have to see.
34 would be their next pick.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to go with Verse here.
Okay.
And there might be an offensive lineman that's at 34 that's of higher quality than like if the edges.
I think
where Verse is at versus the other edges.
Yeah, Verse ain't gonna make it.
And the I'm just saying like if you compare like the drop off from Verse to the next edge, let's just scroll for the next edge. See?
Still scroll.
That's
Chris Braswell.
Like, I mean, that's a huge drop off from Verse to Braswell.
And I passed like five tackles on the way there.
Exactly. Yeah. And not all those guys are going to be gone in 10 picks.
Yeah. All right, I'm here with the Cowboys. I am going to take Jackson Powers Johnson. They need center. They need tackle. They need a lot of stuff here for the Cowboys. I'm going to start rebuilding this offensive line. I'm going to take a center who could also potentially play guard for them. A lot of Jags fans, this is the player that they want. But I'm going to take Jackson Powers Johnson here for the Cowboys, and you are up.
They still want him?
Dude, listen. He could play guard.
Okay. Packers have a lot of top 100 picks this year. I think that they also have lost a few guys in free agency. But they're a super young team, and they're just going to add to it with this draft. Baxter is telling me I should go with Tyler Newbin here. And as I mentioned maybe prior to or during the pod, I'm going to need some help in these later picks to know where these teams...
One of the things that I've learned this offseason about the Packers is they have a very stringent, Trent Baalke-esque parameters of which their players need to fulfill. And a lot of those players are gone, other than Tyler Newbin. Nate Wiggins, 100%, no way, would never be picked by the Packers. Graham Barton, arms aren't long enough. Tyler Guyton, maybe. I mean, Tyler Guyton, it's probably between Tyler Guyton at tackle and Tyler Newbin at safety. Or Peyton Wilson, linebacker.
Go back at the top. So not, what'd you say about Graham Barton?
His arms are too small.
T-Rex in it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead... Boy, you got a huge hole at left tackle, huh?
I mean, Guyton is a possibility. He definitely would fit within their parameters. I just don't know if that's something that they would do. Yeah,
Let's do Guyton.
Okay.
I think they need to go offensive line. You lose a starting tackle. That's a huge hole. So go with the tackle.
All right, the Bucks need everything, but they need a guard, or center. I'm going to take Graham Barton. This is the guy that the jack of all trades. He's listed as a tackle. Most people think that he's probably going to end up playing guard in the NFL, but he could also potentially play center. So I'm going to take Graham Barton here. He's your movable chess piece along the interior of your offensive line for the Bucks. You are up with the Cardinals, pick 27.
Yeah, a little unfortunate. I think they would also like Graham Barton. We already picked Marvin Harrison for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, they have a lot of holes still there. And there's a couple corners at the top here that I don't think they would mind having to choose from at pick 27. You tell me which one seems more likely to go before the other at this point based on your mocks. Because the PFF thing sometimes is outdated. Mm-hmm. And so... you might know more where people are trending than PFF.
I just like, for me personally, Nate Wiggins scares me, dude. He's so small. Nate Wiggins is, let's see here, mock draftable. Nate Wiggins came in at 6'1 3/8", 88th percentile, 173 pounds, second percentile. He is fucking so small, Casey. It would concern me. I would rather take Kool-Aid, who's dealing with a Liz Frank injury, who on a bad foot ran a 4.4 40. That would just be me personally. I think Nate Wiggins probably would be a guy who would also be going here, but I personally would take Kool-Aid.
Then I'll take Kool-Aid.
All right, moving on. We are here to the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to take Tyler Newbin here. I think he's the best safety on the board. The Bills lost Poyer this offseason. They lost Tre'Davious White. I think Tyler Newbin is the best safety. We're going to take him here. We're going to stick him in the backfield for the Bills, and we are going to ride with that. And you are up with the Lions at pick 29.
Lions have done a great job.
Man, I should have picked Brian Thomas. That was a mistake.
At rebuilding. That was a mistake. That would have been a perfect pick. What an idiot.
I'm an idiot. Freaking idiot.
I think that...
Screen's too small.
Scroll a little bit more. They're not going to go fucking linebacker, let me tell you. Zach Frazier?
Would be interesting. He's definitely a Lionsy type. He's biting kneecaps.
Yeah, Zach Frazier. Yeah, Zach Frazier. Zach Frazier.
All right, I am up with the Ravens. Listen, they took Zay Flowers, but I still think that they could do with another wide receiver. I'm going to take Brian Thomas Jr. because I didn't take him for the Bills, and he definitely needs to be gone by this point. Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, wide receiver to the Ravens.
49ers have some holes, especially interior on the O-line. Man, keep scrolling. Oh, you did it this way? That's fine. I was just kind of see who naturally was there. Oh, no, they're not going to go that far.
I hate how small this screen is. Man.
No. Go to... Just scroll a little bit. Let me just peek everything here. I mean, they seemingly are now going to be committed to their wide receivers, so I don't think they're
going to be Mike Sanrestrill is probably the best nickel corner. Braden Fisk would be interesting, but they don't really... I mean, I guess they could replace Armstead.
Go back up. Rake straw.
Fucking Chop. Goddamn, why is Chop so low? Breaks my heart.
Yeah, I mean, they lost... We're probably going to lose Chase Young. I don't know if that's a...
Chase Young's gone.
He signed somewhere else?
With the Saints.
I don't remember. Okay.
And he's getting shoulder surgery? Neck surgery? After signing?
Let's go. Get the hell... What are you doing here?
It was a misclick.
Get the hell out of here. Let's go Nate Wiggins.
Okay. We've done it again. The Chiefs, you're welcome. A.D. Mitchell to the Chiefs, pick 32, easy peasy lemon squeezy here, outside wide receiver, they need it so bad, easiest pick of all time. All right, Casey, do you have anything you want to say? Anything at all?
No, I don't think so. Happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter, everybody.
And
the Easter Bunny bring you everything that you hope for.
Wish me luck.
Good luck. All right. We will be back in 2 weeks. Don't forget to rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts for us if you'd be so kind.
That was a fun little noise.
You can find and follow us at Surf and Artificial Turf. All one word on Twitter. That's what you stay for. You stay for the noises that I make in the outro because I can't find it.
Yeah.
You can also email us at the same thing. Please email. surfandartificialturf@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you all next week on the Surf and Artificial Turf podcast.